They were born in Pakistan, and I moved to England in the 1960s. And since then, been here. My children are born here. I was married in Pakistan. My wife and children are here. They all grown up.
Coming over to Newport in the 60s, how old were you when you came over?
I was just about 15 when came over. And actually in those days, you know, I wasn't mature enough to know what was going on. Mm-hmm. Because I was still at school and there is no sort of limit to what age you can go to school till. When I came here, I was I was over the age to go to stay in school. I only spent about 3-4 months in school, and then I tried to get into college. But those days there was no sort of evening or any classes where I could join because my English wasn't high enough to join anything. Oh, I had to go and work. Which was very good at that time, you know.
One of your first, I don't know if it was one of the first jobs that you got when you were here, was it driving a bus?
No, first job I got was in the timber factory down Pell. It's a sawmill, I think it's still there. I worked there for about a year. Then I went to work in the board mill, Mamasha board mill. And I worked there about 8-9 months. And I went to work in the battery factory. I worked there about 3-4 months, Compton. And then I worked about 2 days in the buildings outside of in past Cardiff. Didn't like it there, came to work, looked for a job in the buses, and I got the job on buses, and that's it. That was the last job I had, and after that I had health problems, and they retired me a bit early. In those days I think there was a shortage of workforce in England because of the World War, and they wanted people to come from, I think what happened, to my knowledge, I don't know, I might be wrong, because of the independence of India and Pakistan, a few years before, they wanted people to come over and help out or, you know, carry on their life with the community living here. So my parents came over and I just came with them, and since then, we just settled on here. Now I get my grandchildren growing up here as well. So happy, everybody's happy living here with the community. But the things has changed. Like, you know, you can't say, when I came over, there was lots of work. You could go anywhere and find work. The work is gone. Most of the factories in Newport are gone. And it is, I think it's a bit difficult for the youngsters to get a job now unless they got a good qualification, and then there is just office work to, I think, office work, warehouse or shop works left in Newport now. It's not much industry. Oh, I don't know where the future is going to be. As you can see around, you know, where they were. When I came over, you could finish one job in the morning and you have another job in the afternoon. They will start you up, you know, so you go and look for a job. They won't say, no, come back tomorrow. Just said, they said, all right, come and start now. That was the situation then.
And very different.
It's very difficult now to get a job.
When you first moved into the area, did you live close by to Community House?
Yes, the community also did play a big part in my life because, like I said in the beginning, in that time there was no, I wanted to learn and there was no classes I could join. But there was people in the community who also used to come once a week to teach English. There was two teachers from different school. One of them moved to Germany after, and the one stayed here. They helped us. There was a group of us, the boys, who used to come here, play around and meet and learn English as well. And then after that, quite a few people came and helped, you know, and learn and just carry on with the things.
I guess also when you were working on the buses, that you were meeting people every day, and that must have
that helped as well to learn and speak. But the main point which I learned from is the community house, which we had a couple of different people at the time coming over, and after the teachers, they was here for a while, then that somebody else took out the three girls who were studying as trainee teachers. They came over, one from Rhondda Valley, and I think the other one was from either Manchester or Leeds. The two or three of them, they was good friends. They came over, and they used to come over every Thursday and Tuesday, twice a week, to teach whoever wanted to learn. And Mr. Summers, Sidhar Summers, who was the bishop of the church next, he used to live next door, his daughter, and Brian, and Mrs. Jones, who used to run the cafe here. He was very friendly people, was very, very friendly and very, very helpful. And we had a good group of people from different nationality and different cultures. So we had a good time here.
I can see on the film there's some really nice footage of you all having a nice party and coffee bar and having a dance, like Scottish dancing.
It's like a sort of a, you know, get together sort of thing,
nice.
You know. It was quite nice, good day, good times.
Yeah.
There was good time, good friendly times, you know, people from all walks of their life, you know. There was not just Pakistani, or English, there was people from all other communities. There was people from France and Africa. There was others, you know, I just can't remember now. There's quite a lot of people. Everybody was quite happy to get together and help each other.
And do you remember any special evening? Like, you say you have Thursday evening. Was that a thing, Thursday evening in particular, or...?
No, it was just 2 days. We had Tuesday and Thursday, which was available. The hall was available, the community was available, and people just got together, and we just opened. Like we said, we had English classes, we had a play group playing like tennis, and then there was other sort of game, table tennis, another small, like a small pool table.
Okay.
And all sort of game playing.
Yes.
And we used to call the Asian Club. And then it became the International Club. And that's how it carried on. Then Ingrid Wilson, who joined us, she did quite a lot. Her husband as well. He was here as well, Mr. Wilson. They both sort of helped and to run the group, and there was other people, like we just sort of got on with it.
Ingrid is still very much involved.
She is still involved. She still comes, but I don't have much time now because my wife is quite ill now, and I must spend most time staying home, taking her here and there, and life is quite busy at home.
I can imagine.
I got my daughter-in-law, my daughters, they're very good. they help her, they do most of the things. But because my daughter and my son, they are mostly working, and I'm home, because I'm retired quite a while now, and as I am retired officially now 2 years ago as well. So I do get out and about, but not a lot, because my own health is not all that good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
it's, that. I've been suffering for quite a while now with this anxiety and depressions and back problem. And so, thank God I'm able to get around.
Yes.
And get about.
Yeah.
But not a lot. I spend the time at home mostly now.
Did you enjoy your work as a bus driver?
Oh, you love it. If I had a chance to go back.
How many years would you say you were doing that job?
On and off, like I was about 10, 15 years altogether. Because I was on the working from 70 to 74. 74, yeah, middle of, end of 74 I go up, went back home to get married, come back, went to work in Cardiff for a year, then I came back to Newport. And after that I became ill and I was unable to carry on then.
What did you like most about the job?
It's meeting people. Meeting different people on the go all the time. It was the best point, was meeting people, different people all the time. And very friendly people, group of people to work with as well.
When you look back at your film, Home From Home, when was the last time you saw it?
Not long ago. It was shown in cinema at Riverside. My family went to see it, and they also had it put on the internet, and my son showed it to me on the internet. At home, we all watched it at home.
Did you like to see yourself? Did you think it was a good representation of
it
your life
very,
at the time?
It was a very good representation, you know, but as I said, I was young and naive those days, just the things could have been better if I had known what I was saying or doing. Mm-hmm. But at the time, what we did and what we made was quite good.
Yes.
And yeah, it's quite helpful.
Yeah, it is very interesting always to look at old films to see what people were wearing, what the traffic was doing, the shops. It was fascinating. I got the feeling that you were sort of lonely, like it was a street scene at the end and you're walking off in the distance and the streets are empty, there's no traffic and it's just you walking away, and I thought, oh, that looks very poignant.
It was just the scene he wanted to create, some reason or other, because maybe to show I was I don't know what he meant to with that at that time. I said, like I said, it didn't come to my mind what we was doing or what it was about. It just it was about what we like, what the life was in the UK.
Yeah.
That's it was all about, getting the family together and spending time together.
And the shop with the street. There's some sort of band, a marching band.
Because that was the lifestyle those days. You could see bands marching and every time, you don't see now.
No.
It's gone. You don't see them anymore. And like people used to go to church every Sunday, that's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, every Sunday you wake up, you hear the bells going. You don't hear the bells no more. I think people are just going away from the religion. And it's just, life is, I don't know, hustle and bustle, too much. The life is so expensive, I think that's why it is. And there's not much work, people are just, I don't know. It's just, I think this life has changed altogether to what it was in the 60s and 70s. And life has become very, people have become more busy in their phones and internet and tablets. See the children, they're you know, they're mostly busy. They got their headphones on, the phone going. They are more interested in their iPad or a phone instead of being together. That closeness of a family is sort of seems to be, I don't know, it seems to be dying away in the family. That it's just me or it's happening everywhere. I don't know. I got that feeling that we are coming to this situation where people becoming more selfish, and this more world is becoming, has become a more problematic. You see people killing each other. We're in the 70s and after the World War, everybody was trying to make friendship and build up the relationships. And I don't know, I think we're going back instead of going forward. Because it's everywhere is trouble.
Yeah, we're living in some very interesting times.
The social media is creating more problem because everybody's putting up so much rubbish into young people's minds.
Yes. It's too busy, it's too crowded.
This is it, yeah.
Everyone seems to be switched on all the time. There's no escaping it. It feels like you can feel your every waking hour. People don't slow down anymore.
No. So everything is like where before people used to get together, meet, family used to sit in one room. I remember when my children and myself and my wife, in the evening, children came from school, I come from work, we all sat down in one room. We had our food together. We sat and watched TV for a while together. Now it's all different. The children come from school, they take their food up in their bedrooms or in the next room. They just don't seem to be that family sort of life. What maybe it's a new generation as their way of life, completely different to ours. Maybe that's what it is, you know. I don't know. Makes you one thing, you know, what we was and what it is now in the last 15, 20 years. This is completely changed. The things are completely changed. Like I said, there's no that feeling of getting together. Maybe it's me getting old. Maybe it's the old age. You know. You never know. It could be. It might be me.
More.
Yes, it is, because I don't know, like I said, that, you know, the people, they was more interested in religion at that time, not so long ago. People used to come to the church here as well, because they used to have Sunday service, and also in the other churches. The people, this day and age, they can't wait from the religion or the churches, which sort of had a big bond in the people, because you went to church, there was other people there, you met them, you listened to the lecture from the vicar or whoever was in charge of the church, and people sort of have something to take some thought back home. Now everybody's into internet, and whatever you see in the internet or social media, that is being fed into the minds of people. People are not interested into the groups or the churches. As everybody might have noticed, the churches are closed down. Some have been knocked down. Some been sold, because people not interested. So that's what I think is breaking up the bond in the people, like what we had when we was growing up or when we was in our growing up days, it's not the same. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame, really. I don't know, maybe youngsters, maybe they have a more activities than what we had, but because it may be because I'm most of the time I'm home, I don't go most much out and about. That's maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's maybe the problem, that I don't see it much, like as of the community halls. Like you said, it must remain open to the community, like there are different groups every day, different activities going on, afternoon and evenings. I don't even know what goes on here now, because it's been a long time since I come to community house.
There's a women's group, there's a men's group that happens today from 2 till 4 every Tuesday. It's quite a nice group. Just a few men, they will sit there and they will have a chat and have a cup of tea and play cards. And they seem very friendly. And then there's a coffee group on a Thursday, and then there's a Maindy Youth Project that happens tonight, but they finished now. There's all kinds of things. I think what the purpose of this project that I'm involved in, we won Heritage Lottery money over 2 years.
Right.
And we won a bid. Originally it was going to be for repairs to the building, but then the Heritage Lottery looked at the building and they thought that it didn't, you know, it wasn't significant. If it was that old church building that used to stand here with the Victorian brick Gothic style, if it was that, then maybe they would have given us money for the renovation of the building. But what captured their attention most of all was the way that they heard about Cyril Summers and his vision for community, and how he thought about rebuilding the church once they knew that the old building had to be demolished. And Cyril's idea was looking at the changing area, Maindy, and seeing lots of new people coming in. And he could see that church was taking less and less focus over their lives. And then he thought, which was very unusual at the time, him and his wife, and he consulted all the people that used the building. And it seemed to appear that a community centre should be created that still has a church in it, that still has that function, but is more about the people, and the people are the heart of the community. So it was unusual to think like that in those days, early 60s. And it was his vision that enabled this to happen. And you can still feel his spirit, I suppose, in the way that people
He was a very good man. He sort of, because he was the church man, and he knew the importance of the community, and he played a big part in running this community house and the church altogether. Him and his daughter, who I am seeing for I don't know ages.
She came up here and I talked to her for the project. Valerie Martin.
Very nice girl person. She was very nice, very sweet person, and Mr. Summer himself was a very nice person. We got on very, very well with each other. When he was around, when he became a mayor as well, then he moved away from here.
And Dorothy, do you remember Dorothy, his wife?
Yes, I remember them both very well. And like I said, they moved away, and last time I saw was when he came here, and I was working in the bus, then they had the special night for him at the one of the hotel in town, and I was invited to that. That's when we met last time. And Brian, I see him now and again on the street going past. He's okay. But like I said, there's a lot of people came and gone. And it's good memories of them left. Good people. And I hope myself, like you said, this keeps going, but you need people to run it. You yes. can't just do it with the one or two people.
No. Did you, after you were involved with driving buses, and did you have any other sort of involvement with the community in a community capacity, like?
Yeah, I've been involved with the mosque, with our Muslim community. But I couldn't carry on there as well because of my health. I had nothing to do. I couldn't do much work there because I was just like being a part of the community, you know. And because to be with the youngsters and organize things for them, meetings, attend the meetings and tell them what to do and what. That's what we do now. It's only 4 or 5 of us. What the rest is our youngsters. And we just sort of guide them to running a mosque day-to-day business. Even there, we don't see people turning up to mosque very much, only on a certain occasions like Ramadan, Muharram, or if there is a special events, people come. Otherwise, there's only few people go to mosque as well. People are not into the religion in any community now. I think the people are running away from the religion. And all this wars going on in Syria, Iran, Iraq, and Yemen, they're fighting each other, and you see young people being killed, children being killed, women running around doing, it makes me cry anyway, when you see all these youngsters and people. What they doing them for? What they bombing them for? What they killing each other? I don't know why. Why? In Yemen, this is one of the poorest country in the world. They got nothing there, and yet they've been bombarded for the last 3 years, 4 years maybe, whatever. For what? I don't know. It's difficult to understand why people doing this. Just killing innocent people all over the world. And the world leaders there, they don't know what they're doing. It's a shame. Shame. It's not difficult to understand things. Too difficult for us to understand. The world could be better if there was in the beginning, live and let live sort of business. Especially, these people, these mental people who go around killing other people, suicide bombers. I mean, there's no religion is give you the teaching of that to go and kill other people. Why? What you gain for them?
No, it makes no sense.
Don't gain nothing.
They
kill themselves, they kill other innocent people, they damage properties. I mean, a house is all right for someone like me and you. We might have buy a house. It takes a lifetime to build that, make that house into home. And somebody just comes along and blow himself up. Why? Why? What they gain from that? Don't understand. They're doing being so stupid things. They're doing killing other people for what? For a few thousand pounds? What would they gain for that? I mean, they're not alive to appreciate that money they got from somebody. Whatever it was, dollars, pounds, rupees, or whatever they got from someone who brainwashed them to go and kill other people. What they gain from it? I don't know. It's very, very difficult to understand. And I'm sure there's no 100%, there's no religion or no culture will say this is right.
Is there anything that you want to add about making a life in Mendi or other memories of Community House, or where you think, or what we could be doing to sustain what goes on here?
Like I said, it's difficult for me to suggest or say, because I haven't been involved in anything for ages now. Most of my time is spent at home. And I go to mosque, yeah, twice a day. But the interest I had when I was younger age, they all sort of gone. You know, it's not just don't know what to suggest. But I would love to see this place keep going, keep going, and people should run it, because it is for the benefit of other people, and they should benefit from it instead of letting it run down or close down. It'd be a shame to see it being closed like the churches or the mosque. Because it's good to have it running.
Mm. Yeah. I come across some very nice people when I've been doing the project and finding out about their lives and what they've done. And
like when it's we, amazing. You know, it was an Asian evening. Then it became international club. We called it because there was a lot of people. But it was happy days. You know, people got together, we used to have a different night, you know, we used to meet twice a day, but we used to have different nights, organize different functions on our special days, like play up small dramas or cooking night or something. It was quite nice. Social media and internet is killing all the relations, because people are more interested in the gossip and what's happening to that person, what's happening, what's he doing, what she's doing. All these stories, they're interesting. And there is still a lot of good people who are helping out, and they're trying to do good in the world. It's not sort of finished everything, it's still hope there. People are still doing good, and there's good people out there. I'm glad there's still quite a few things going on. The government is used to fund it, to run it as a community house and a church. Then everything is sort of changed, they stopped everything. It is a good cause for the community, and it's keeping the community interested and together. It's a very helpful place for people around here. But it'd be a shame to see it go. And my hope and my appeal to the people who have got the resources to keep it going, please keep it going.